Hey guys, I'm Ashley and I'm the daughter.
I'm Liz and I'm the mom.
And this is The Lesser Known. Welcome back to another episode. Today I'm going to be talking about a place that I have actually visited for once.
Good.
It's Banff National Park in Alberta, Canada. But before we get into that, let's do our question of the day and give our Instagram followers some shout outs. So, Mom, would you rather hike or scuba dive?
Oh, this is easy for me. Well, I can't swim and I'm terrified of water. So I definitely would not scuba dive. That's like worst nightmare scenario for me, but I love hiking. So easy for me, hiking.
Okay. I would also rather hike, but I would try to scuba dive.
Oh, you haven't?
No. I've snorkeled, and snorkeling was fun. I did that in Costa Rica. The only reason that I did was because it was very clear water. Mm-hmm. So I could see all the way to the bottom. But if I can't see the bottom, it freaks me out.
Mine isn't even about like not even be able to see. I mean, I don't like that part either, but also I just like don't like having my head underwater. I don't like the way it sounds. It has like that, you know what I'm talking about? Like that sound. And I just like, I can't stand having my head underwater.
Yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In Costa Rica, when you could see though, I saw an eel go by me. That's, it was cool, but I got a little bit scared because I'm like, I don't know if they
like an electric eel.
Yeah.
Is that like a real, I think that's a real thing.
I think it is too. Yeah. I don't know. It did scare me. And then I went snorkeling in California at, what's that national park? The Channel Islands. It's on my handkerchief. So that's how I, but I went to the Channel Islands and snorkeled, and that water was so black. It was so scary.
Gross.
Like, I know. Like, I got in, I went down, and then all I saw was, like, some light with, like, a massive black. And I'm like, what is that? And it was, like, what is that? Not coral.
I don't know.
Seaweed? Oh,
algae?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like layers and layers of it. Ugh. Like, the bottom to the top. And I'm like, no, I can't. And we paid a lot of money to go do that. But I couldn't.
Didn't you know ahead of time?
No, not really. It looked clear because if you look at like the pictures and we were on top of a mountain, you could see and it looked like super clear water. Mm. But the section that they have you like scuba dive or snorkel, not scuba dive, snorkel, it's dark.
Yeah.
I hated it. I wouldn't do it again.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Like literally that's like what's in my nightmares, deep water.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go over 5 more followers today. And so the first one is Amy Louise, Andy Kite, Crap Affirmations, which I think that's like a funny one.
Nice.
Yeah. Coffee in a Case Podcast. And she also follows us as Brooke Chunky Chick 2.0. So you guys should check out her podcast too. They're new podcasters and they had their first episode come out and it was really good. You should go listen to it. Those are our 5. So thanks guys.
Yeah. So thank you guys for the follow. We really appreciate it. Okay. So let's jump into it. Like all other national parks that we've talked about so far, Banff wasn't always a national park. Instead, it started as a natural reserve because of the hot springs that are within it. Banff is Canada's first national park and the 3rd established in North America after Yellowstone and the Mackinac National Parks.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I thought so too. Established in 1885, it was previously known as the Rocky Mountains Park of Canada. The park is located in Alberta, which is west of Calgary, and it encompasses 6,641 square kilometers, which is about 2,564 square miles of mountainous terrain with many glaciers, ice fields, coniferous forests, and alpine landscapes.
So I definitely haven't been there yet. I've never been to Canada. I really want to go though.
Yeah, it was really pretty. And the people are so nice.
That's what I hear. I hear people are really nice. Like every video I've ever seen from people going there, it's just like there's like just bears running around and like beautiful lakes, like crystal clear lakes. And I definitely want to go one day.
Yeah. And there's so much wildlife too, which is cool. Mm-hmm. The park gets approximately 3 to 4 million visitors a year. And out of those, there are on average only 25 deaths a year. It's really low.
Okay. Yeah.
Because remember we talked about Yellowstone. I think that was like 50 something.
That's true. So it's like double.
Yeah. Yeah. But I couldn't find a whole lot about what the most common cause of death was. Mm-hmm. But I did notice a lot of sources saying avalanches. So I want to say, because there's a lot of skiing there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And there are a lot of avalanches. So I'm going to say it's that, but I couldn't find a lot. What I did find a lot of was the most common cause of death for animals, which I thought was crazy.
I'm surprised they would even mention that.
Yeah, because I feel like all the other national parks I researched, it immediately popped up, the most common cause of death. But for this, it was the most common cause of death for animals. And I think that's just trains.
Oh.
Being hit by trains. I know. Oh,
that's like shocking.
I know.
Like what kind of animals? Just all animals?
Yeah, all kinds of animals because they cross the train tracks and trains can't. Yeah.
I wonder if the human deaths are from like grizzly bear attacks.
I'm sure there are some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is like when we did Yellowstone, I know there was a lot of bear attacks, which was very shocking to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was to me too because I thought that that was a rare occurrence when they attacked humans. Like they only do it to protect cubs or, you know, territory or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think it was cool that Canada made it a point to care about their wildlife. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, oh, well, we don't know how many, like, what the most common cause of death for people is, but we can tell you for animals because we love our animals.
That's sweet.
I know. I thought it was sweet too. And another sweet thing that they do is they build wildlife bridges over main highways for the animals to cross.
I was going to ask about that actually when you said something about the animal deaths, because I've seen that on probably Instagram or whatever. I've seen where they have like a, like you said, a bridge that goes over like highways or something, but the bridge isn't for people. It's just like, it looks like a landscape where there's like plants and grass and like specifically for animals. So they do that there?
I thought that was sweet. Yep.
Aw.
And they have a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see one of those.
I'll post a picture.
Okay.
Okay. So let's kind of talk about how Banff came to be. Unlike many other national parks that began as mining settlements, Banff was established specifically for tourism. When they came across the springs, they immediately knew that it would attract tourists. In 1883, employees of the Canadian Pacific Railway discovered a cluster of natural hot springs that were approximately 10 square miles long on Sulphur Mountain, which is above the Bow River Valley, which is like a mountainous terrain that runs through the heart of Banff.
Can you go into these hot springs?
You can.
Okay, so these aren't the acidic.
These are good ones.
I would definitely do that. Go in the hot springs. No? You just said?
No, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I have a story. So the hot springs are still there, and they're now more of a resort. I actually visited them when I went there. And I was super disappointed.
Oh, no. Wait, like,
yeah. So, okay. We got there and it was like one of the big attractions. Everyone's like, oh, go visit the hot springs. It's great. All this stuff. We get there. We wait in a line. It takes like 30 minutes, which isn't that bad. But we wait there. We get up and we pay. And it's like $12 to $15. So again, still not bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take you back to like this locker room and it has like showers and lockers and stuff to lock up your stuff. So, you know, I mean, that could be kind of nice, but I felt like I was at a Lifetime gym.
Okay.
And So anyway, we get undressed. There's like a bunch of naked people walking around.
Like naked?
Like naked. So they're walking around. We're all getting dressed in our bathing suits. And then we go out. And how you get out there is kind of cool because it's like there's glass on both sides and you can see out into the hot spring. Mm-hmm. And then you walk like down into it to get outside. Okay. So yeah. So it all sounds great
so far.
Yeah, exactly. But when you get out there, there's like 50 people in what looks like a giant swimming pool. So not what you would think a hot spring would be. I would think rocky, natural hot spring.
They kind of did like concrete around it?
No. So what they did was they made the pool and then they like siphoned from the hot spring. So it's like hot spring water. Yeah. But it's like a big giant. Yeah. It was like sitting in a big giant bathtub which with a bunch of random people.
Which is kind of a pool anyway, but... But yeah, the whole point is you want to sit like in the actual hot springs, like with rocks around mm-hmm. you and like feel nature, not just use the water from the hot springs.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was like number one on why I thought it was not that great. Mm-hmm. So we're like, whatever, we paid for it. We'll just sit here and hang out. So I get out, move to the other side of the pool because at this point it's not a hot spring anymore.
Right.
I moved to the other side of the pool and I sit down and I put my feet in and then we're just talking and a Band-Aid floats past me. Ew. And I'm like, no. I'm like, immediately, no, I'm getting out right now. I'm done.
That's just like public pool nonsense though. That's not like the hot springs fault.
But then you think about like, okay, if there's a Band-Aid, who has peed in this? You know what I mean? And so I was just over it. I'm like, I'm not going to sit in a bathtub soaking in everyone else's filth.
So, yeah, you're like, I'm done.
Yeah. So I think there are other hot springs that you can visit. I haven't looked that up, but I did see a lot of places that were like hot spring this, hot spring that.
I mean, honestly, if that were the hot spring, I wouldn't go either because it'd be like, what's the point? Like I can also like get a bucket and put like some hot spring water into my pool.
Yeah.
I want to sit like on the rocks and like, yeah, right. That was a fine
one. That was the part that got me.
Gross. Yeah.
It's fine. I just wouldn't go back.
Right. Or at least like learn about it a little first, mm-hmm. which is why this is good. So now people are hearing this. It's like, they're like exactly. Thinking they're going to go like sit in some rocks and that's not the case.
Not the case. It is a pool. So, you know, with them discovering these hot springs initially, back when they were actually hot springs and not pools, no one could decide on the ownership of the springs. So the Canadian government stepped in and declared them as a natural reserve. And it wasn't until 1887 that the park was officially named a national park. They do allow people to live in the national park, but you have to work in there.
Oh, so like the rangers mm-hmm. and stuff can live there? Mm-hmm. That's cool. So, I think I would like that.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. So in 1984, the park was included a UNESCO World Heritage Site. And I looked up what that is. It means United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organizations. What's kind of cool is Banff didn't always have the name Banff.
Yeah, I was wondering when I looked it up, I was like, how do you even say that? So it's Banff.
Banff. Yeah. So before it was named Banff, it was the Canadian Rocky Mountains Park.
Yeah. Do you know why it got named Banff?
Yeah. It was the two founders. I think their names were Banff Shire, and it was like a Scotland name.
Yeah.
And so they named it Banff. So now I want to talk about some of the uncommon features of the park.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Banff is home. I know, me too. I get so excited when we get to that part. The history and stuff is sometimes cool, but the weird things inside the park are cooler to me. So Banff is home to many different glacier-fed lakes, some natural, some man-made, and some that are gassy. Lake Abraham is considered to be the largest reservoir in Alberta, but what makes this lake special is the methane gas that is produced below the surface. So methane gas is created from dead organic material, like falls to the bottom of the water.
Okay.
And then bacteria feeds on it. Mm-hmm. And then they release the methane gas. It's just releasing like bubbles of gas.
So how do they know there's methane gas under?
Because when the lake freezes, the methane bubbles rise up from the lake bed and become frozen in the ice at different levels. So it creates like, it creates like stacks of frozen bubbles that look like they're held in suspension.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So you'll see like one big bubble and then followed by tinier bubbles, or like a tiny bubble and then it like branches out into like bigger bubbles.
So like as it freezes, they just like become all these bubbles under the surface. Mm-hmm. How do you see it? Like the lake is totally frozen so you can like stand on it?
Yeah, exactly. And we can post a picture of that because it does look really cool.
Yeah,
it's hard
definitely
to explain, but yeah, it's like a big sheet of ice. Mm-hmm. And then just imagine like darker white circles just below. Mm-hmm. Everywhere. So it attracts scientists to the lake because they want to know more about it. Methane gas is pretty flammable. So,
oh God.
Yeah. So what they did was they drilled into a methane bubble and mm-hmm. then they took a match and lit it on fire. So you can see like this methane bubble just pop and like,
oh, it's so cool. What happened? It just like exploded like a firecracker or something?
Yeah, a little bit. It just looked like a flame go, like it went straight from the lake up, mm-hmm. like just a flame.
And it was a flame?
That would be like the size of us, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I wonder if they can do that when you go there to like visit, like if they have little demonstrations.
That would be cool.
That would be really cool.
People, yeah. They do tell people not to smoke. Because if one of those bubbles were to break, then it could catch fire.
Or crack the ice, right? Maybe it would crack the ice and you could like fall in.
No.
They're just really thick.
Yeah, I don't know what happens, but they have like, I think the ice is super thick because they had to drill into the bubble and then mm-hmm. throw the match in and it just like puffed up.
And plus there's like bubbles deep down too, so mm-hmm. it must be like super thick. I wonder if it ever like thaws out.
Oh, it does. Yeah. Yeah. But all the lakes there are super cold because they're all glacier fed. So like when the glaciers melt, they make lakes.
Yeah.
And so the glacier ice is cold.
It's pretty cool. Like I would like love to see a glacier.
It's not always cold. We went in the summer and it was weird because so it wasn't super cold in the town. It was chilly, but not super cold. But when we went hiking in the mountains, there was still snow, but it still wasn't cold.
But there was snow on the ground and it just wasn't cold?
Yeah. Like you'll see,
I think
you can see, I know, but you can see in one of my pictures, there's snow on the ground. I'm in shorts and a tank top.
I think I've seen those pictures and I was like wondering, I'm like, how are you wearing that? Like I'd be freezing.
No, it wasn't that bad. I will say so if you visit Banff, download your maps because we got super lost. Oh. At one point, I thought we may die. I'm not kidding.
Maybe that's how the people are dying there.
I mean, maybe because like we didn't have service. We didn't have anything and we could not find our way back down this mountain. So we hiked up it and everything was fine. It was a super pretty view. I couldn't even tell you what mountain it was, but I can post a picture of the view.
Okay.
And it was fun. But then on our way back, somehow we had lost the trail and there was a bunch of snow. So you couldn't see the bottom. And we were constantly like, our foot would fall through up to hip deep. Like
in
just a, yes, because we would, so we were walking on these rocks, but it was really hard to tell where the rocks were and where they were. So you would step on either a rock or not a rock. And when you stepped on not a rock, your foot fell through up to your hip. And so we were just like covered in snow. And then I forgot who had the idea. I think it was, this guy Grant who came with, cause it was me, my friend Rachel and Grant, and then Rachel's boyfriend at the time. And I think Grant had this idea where he took his backpack. And he sat on his backpack and just slid down the hill instead of walking.
Did it work?
It did, yeah, for a little bit. But oh, man, that was like the worst thing. I was having the worst day. I was like, get me out of here. I'm freezing. I'm soaking wet from the snow.
I was about to say, because you said you're in shorts. So even if it was warm, like if you're like sinking into hip length or hip, you know, deep snow, that's still going to be freezing cold.
Yeah. And I think that was in, I want to say July. So it was pretty into the summer.
Yeah.
But it's warm other than that, you know. So another fascinating lake is called Lake Minnewanka. And this is fascinating because 60 feet below the surface lies an old resort hotel that you can scuba dive to.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's one instance. If I were going to scuba dive, which I won't, like, that would be the one.
That's kind of why I asked the question, because I was like, I wonder if it'll change later on.
Yeah, that's smart. Wow. Yeah.
It reminded me of, like, the lost city of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Like, the lost town of Minnewanka.
So did it just happen because like the glaciers kept melting and just finally covered it up?
No. So the Minnewanka Landing Resort first opened in 1888, and the resort attracted a lot of people to that area, which eventually led to the construction of wharves, which I looked it up and that's like a loading dock for ships. And then cottages, hotels, and restaurants were also constructed. And they did and still do lake tours of that lake.
Mm-hmm.
But the lake's waters made for excellent trout and fishing, and the surrounding mountain peaks offered great skiing opportunities during the winter months, which is why it was mm-hmm. such a big attraction. And the resort was booming until World War II. The Calgary Power Company sought to increase its hydroelectric capacity to power a nearby ammonium nitrate explosive plant, which exhausted the village's resources.
Mm.
So then on June 4th, 1940, they began the construction of the Cascade Dam. And then once it was complete, the water levels swelled to nearly 100 feet above the previous mark.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And Minnewanka Landing was left stranded at the bottom of the newly expanded lake.
Oh, that's sad. I feel like that's so, like, I have this creepy thing where when I see things like underwater,
mm-hmm.
it just like creeps me out so much.
Yeah.
So just like knowing that like a whole town is under there, it just like creeps me out.
I know. Me too. Because I always think that like a ghost or something is going to pop up and grab my foot and drag me.
Well, just, yeah, that. And I think for me, it's a lot. I was like, my dad was like really into the Titanic. I remember when I was little.
Hmm.
We had this like Titanic book and it was like obviously all like undersea and stuff. And I was just like obsessed with it as a little kid. And then now like I get like creeped out like every time I see like underwater stuff.
Yeah, it is creepy. I don't know why.
It's creepy, but it's so interesting. Like I can't stop like thinking about it or like wanting to like see it more.
So today the lake stores approximately 8 million gallons of water annually. And that water is to be released in the winter months through the Cascade Hydro Plant near Banff and down the Bow Valley River.
So that's where everyone's getting their water?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if they get it. They use it for the hydro plant.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it's
more like electricity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So the remnants of Minnewanka Landing were left to remain frozen in time beneath glacial meltwater. And today, if you're able to withstand the frigid temperatures, you can dive to the bottom and see Minnewanka Landing.
I'm not.
I know. Well, and I was trying to look up how cold they were, and I was seeing like 3 degrees Celsius, which I think that's like just above freezing. So I wouldn't want
to. Not to mention it's like deep water, and
I know.
This is like not my thing, but I would love to watch like a documentary about it.
So speaking of, you know, the war and stuff, many people don't know this, even the people who live in Banff, but many of the roads and buildings in Banff were built by prisoners of war from other countries. The reason they did it was because of the labor shortage that was going on in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, well, we have these people, but I don't know if that's like against any,
like, labor laws or something.
Yeah, like, because we still have to abide by things, even though they're prisoners of war.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what it's called. I should know this. I'm in the military. I do know it. It's on the back of my ID card. I just can't think of what it's called.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have the back of my ID card memorized either, so I think you're fine.
No, but it's like an actual, like, we follow these laws, even in war. And but I would almost think of what it's called.
I would almost think that they would kind of want to do something instead of just sitting around. Not that you're doing it as punishment, but, like, you're learning a skill and, like, actually creating something. So it doesn't seem, like, too bad.
I know. But whatever. I thought that was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's cool.
Yeah. So you remember how I said Canada is all about their wildlife?
Yes.
Well, there is one specific creature that Banff is known for, and its name is the boss.
He better be spectacular.
He's a monster. So the boss is a grizzly bear, and he is considered the biggest, toughest, and most dominant grizzly in Banff. He's so tough, in fact, that he was hit by a train and just walked away.
Oh. Did someone check on him? Make sure he's okay?
They have him tracked. But that's how they know that he just walked away and was okay. He was hit. They saw his tracker walk away, and he didn't sustain, like, anything but bruises and stuff.
Ow.
I just think of him being like, ugh. Why'd you hit me? Like, I'm mad about it now.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean?
He
just, like, looks back like someone just smacked him in the butt or something.
Right. Like, oh, that's rude. And I mentioned to you that, like, being hit by trains is the number one cause of animal
death. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
But not for Boss. Is he still around?
Not for Boss. He is still around. So normally grizzly bears only, like, in the wild, they last to be 15 to 20 years old.
That's actually more than I thought.
The boss is 23.
Ooh.
I know. So
he's not
old.
Play.
I know. Like, he's the oldest and most dominant. And he weighs 650 to 700 pounds, which normally grizzlies only weigh like 550 to 600.
Wow, this guy.
Mm-hmm. And typically they eat smaller vegetation and prey, like berries and insects. And sometimes when they're given the opportunity, like in the boss's instance, he'll hang out by the train tracks and wait for animals to get hit and then eat their bodies. Mm-hmm. So he's like super smart.
Yeah, he's using the train like a tool. Like
exactly. So like they'll feed on animals like that if they're like dead. The boss, however, has been seen preying on other bears.
Boss, come on. Now, that's a bit much.
This is my territory. And he actually no one shall
kills
pass.
The other bears?
Yeah. In 2013, they had to close this trail called the Sundance Trail because they saw the boss feeding on an adult black bear.
Oh, yeah. That's awful. You sure the bear didn't die first?
I mean, maybe it did, but still, he eats other bears. You know what I mean?
Yeah. He's top dog.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he is because they also said that 70% of the cubs in the park are his.
Whoa.
So he owns all the bears.
Wow.
Yeah. So the boss has claimed much of the Bow Valley area as his territory. He does have a rival that comes around every now and then and tries to take it, though.
Boss Junior.
This rival's name. No. This rival's name is Split Lip.
What a lame name. They're going to give one the name of the boss and the second one is Split Lip.
I thought it sounded like a prison name, like a thug.
But like a good prison name?
I mean, I think so. Like he's been through some stuff, you know? Like, oh, here comes big old Split Lip.
Big old Split Lip. I mean, boss is cool, Split Lip. Mm.
So, even though Split Lip tries, he never comes close to taking over the boss's territory and breeding rights. So they always fight for that. And there was there was one time where they got really into it that I guess people heard it and it started in the woods. And then they came out to like one of the main highways and started fighting. And the boss chased Split Lip for miles down the highway.
People were just like watching this.
Yeah. There's a recording too of someone that like had, yeah.
That'd be scary, but I'd also want to see it. I would just like stay in the car so I didn't get, you know, maybe I could just like follow along the side.
Yeah.
Like drive along the side.
It would be super scary because I was researching and it said that their bite can break a bowling ball. Oh. That's how strong they are. Their bite.
That's insane.
So yeah, that's the boss.
Right. Can you post a picture of the boss? I like, I'm dying to see this guy.
Yeah, I'll post a picture.
Okay.
I do have a couple of interesting closing facts that I couldn't find much about, but I thought that they were still interesting. So the highest mountain in Banff is Mount Forbes, and it is 11,850 feet or 3,612 meters. Canada's largest cave system is called Castlegard Caves, and it's in the northwest corner of Banff. And within there is a rare crustacean that only lives there.
Oh, it's kind of like Death Valley with the puffer fish?
Yeah.
That's cool. Fish. Oh, sorry, pufferfish. I think I called it pufferfish on the episode, too.
You did. But yeah, I guess it looks like a little stick bug, but it's a crustacean.
It's in the lake or a cave?
Cave, yeah. Yeah. And it's only found there ever.
That's the craziest thing when you find – when there's something that's, like, only in one place.
I know. Banff is also home to Alberta's southernmost herd of endangered woodland caribou. So I'm also going to, like, recommend a couple things that, you know, are pretty popular there, or there's some things that aren't so popular. But you can go dog sledding in Banff, which I thought was cool.
Do they have someone go with you?
I think so.
Yeah, because that would be like,
yeah,
if they just like got off the rails.
Right. But I thought that was cool because I don't think you can go many places like dogs.
I've never heard of it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think I would do that.
I think I would too. That'd be fun. You can also visit the cave and basin site where it all started.
Oh, the park?
Mm-hmm. So you can like go inside there and visit. You can ride the gondola up to a restaurant to overlook the park and have, like lunch or dinner there.
Because I like that one.
You can hike the Tunnel Mountain Trail to get a great view of the whole park. And then the most common thing to do is visit Moraine Lake, which is also the most photographed lake. If you do this, I would recommend getting there early. But there's also another alternative. And this is kind of what we had to do. So we got there pretty late and it was just, there was no parking. You had to pay for a shuttle to get there. And it was like this whole crazy mess and it was closing soon. So instead we went to Lake Louise, which was just as pretty. Like the water's super, super blue in both like Lake Louise and Moraine Lake. So if you don't have time for Moraine Lake, go to Lake Louise.
Okay. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that sometimes I like the smaller places anyway, where there's not as many tourists.
Yeah. So that's all I have.
Very cool.
Yeah. Just remember to be safe and download your maps. I think that's the biggest thing because I don't know.
Your biggest takeaway really is like, don't get lost.
Yeah. It was super scary.
I'm just like kind of surprised there weren't more people out where you could see them like coming up. Or something? Were you guys by yourselves?
We were by ourselves. We didn't see one single person.
That is like really scary.
I know.
Did you bring warmer clothes too?
I think I brought a jacket.
So just shorts, hiking boots, and a jacket?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Nope.
I'll post pictures.
I kind of remember seeing the pictures of this. I do remember that.
Yeah. I wonder if we have a video of that guy sledding down on his backpack.
That'd be funny.
I think we do. But okay. Thank you guys for joining us. We appreciate it.
Okay. See you next time.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.